Welcome to Reclaiming the Republic. This show is sponsored by Mobius Strip Press. I am G.R. Mobley. If you go to my site, reclaimingtherepublic.org, you will have access to my content and support documents and links. This is an educational grassroots program leading in restoring the Republic and placing the federal government back into the scope and framework of the Constitution once again. And welcome to the day in between Independence Day and the day we celebrate Independence Day. I might as well give you the little backstory. We began celebrating Independence Day because it was celebrated at all sorts of different times. But we began celebrating it on the 4th while Thomas Jefferson was president. He was the one that chose the 4th as a national recognition. And I believe, because I don't believe we did it as a national recognition during Washington and Adams presidencies. But ironically, it was Thomas Jefferson, even though John Adams was a part of the committee, he was really just an editor. And ironically, it was Thomas Jefferson who made it a national recognition as well as ensuring that he would live, or that document that he wrote, he knew he wrote it. And as a matter of fact, if you look at some of his previous arguments and case law and so forth, because I talk about this in my book, this idea that we were endowed by our creator, these inalienable rights, that he actually argued that in 1770 when he was fighting for a mulatto woman who had reached her age of 31. And by Virginia law, if you were half black, half white, your first half of your life, because they expected you to live to 62, that was the average life expectancy. So the first half of your life, you were enslaved, and the second half of your life, you're supposed to be freed. And her master didn't free her, so he argued in her behalf, and that's where he came up with this concept, looking and scouring through natural law, that we were all created by our creator, and that we were all endowed inalienable rights. And so that's where his argument, we're all born free. Anyway, so just ironic that he just happened to be president and recognized that that document would be celebrated going into 2.5 centuries, correct? So basically, I think when we hit, let me see here. I want to say when we hit 2026, right? That'll be 1776. That'll be the 2.5 centuries. Regardless, I'm really tired. I've had a rough weekend. Won't go into it. I spent some time at the hospital and so forth, but for somebody I care for. But anywho, my math is not where it should be. But this show is also sponsored by ReclaimingTheRepublic.org. It's also sponsored by 1798Part2.org. And that's going to have a lot of really good information. That will be the battleground map. And RepublicReview.org. So again, happy in between Independence Day. And you are listening to the only show that is asserting the only path for saving our constitutional republic, or what I like to call our hybrid constitutional republic. If you want to call in, the lines are open. This is live. Tomorrow, actually, I'm doing a special show, so it'll be pre-recorded, but I can give you some insights on it. But the number to call in is 215-867-8255. That is 215-TOP-TALK, T-O-P-T-A-L-K. And so I want to just kind of skip through and just basically go straight to groveling. I could use some help. I would not be so tired, and I would not be stretched so thin. And as a matter of fact, as I was talking to somebody today about some of the help I've been getting, it's not really help. People just tell me, hey, you know, I'm on your side, but, you know, I can't do what you need me to do. And I kind of talked about that yesterday. But anyway, I'm getting what I paid for, you know, what I'm paying for, obviously. And nobody's paying me to do this. And it'd be great to have sponsorships and financial support and so forth. That being said, I do need help. And if you live in a state that is a red state and you want to be the champion, you want to be a leader in Republic Review and forcing the audit or championing that audit so that we can start working together, by all means, let me know. I mean, our intent is to get funding and money for, and whether it be use the listening audience as well as crowdfunding and any type of vehicle we can get into helping promote and supporting those who are willing to commit to saving the Constitution. That we've got to be very myopic. We can't be, you know, asking people to sign a pledge just to stop abortion. What we need is to stop all federal tyranny. That includes abortion. That includes the IRS. That includes, you know, every, you know, the Department of Energy, education, everything, healthcare. It includes it all. So by all means, let's focus on the big enchilada instead of focusing on, you know, some myopic little passionate drive that some of us have, but not all of us. Anyway, as I always do, I did check in the news, and there is no sign that the federal government is going to disband any of its unconstitutional roles, responsibilities, and powers, what we call federal tyranny. So what that means is, as I always say, that means that I and you and we will have to do this. And it's not that hard, folks. It really isn't that hard. Once you get over that hump of acknowledging the fact that the Constitution is a contract and that it is the states who are the stakeholders of that contract, then it just becomes the next logical follow-on that you go, okay, well, if it's a contract and the states own it, then why do the states not get involved and force enforcement on their contract? Well, that's a good question. Maybe we should start pushing that issue, and maybe we need to bring that to the forefront. That's the whole point of this show. And so let me kind of stumble through some news, because I'm not sure if you've noticed how we're getting these immediate reports that something's happened within a bureaucracy. And I'm just going to highlight one that just kind of came out, and I'm going, why was it that that wasn't news when it was initiated? In other words, the CDC has come out. Somebody within the CDC has said, hey, we've removed every reference to climate change on our website. Like, what does climate change have to do with the CDC? That's the Center for Disease Control. Why do they even have a political dog in that fight or even interest in climate control unless they are being used as a political weapon to pushing the dogma of a narrative that is basically a facade, a lie? Well, as long as enough people start telling it, we start believing it. Well, the CDC says so. And so why? So let's back up to the original question. Why was it not news? Why was there not a whistleblower in the CDC that says, hey, did you know we're going to be peppering climate control all over the place on the Center for Disease Control? Did you know that? How come that wasn't news? Why is it news that we're peeling back this political warfare that's being used throughout all these bureaucracies? Well, because they think it's, you know, that's terrible, that they're undoing all of these great things that the progressives beforehand with Obama, Bush, Clinton, and so forth, they did. And so it speaks again to the level of corruption within government, because when government is using every facet to support an agenda and some dogma that is, there's no evidence that man-made climate, there is none. You can't find any directly correlating evidence that climate change is man-made. And there is more evidence that the Earth and the Earth core and, you know, these volcanic eruptions and venting in the bottom of the ocean has far more to do with our climate change and has caused the Earth to heat up and go cold. Heat up and go cold. the core of our Earth has more to do with our temperature than anything else. And it is pretty arrogant to think that us little beings here on this huge planet, you know, can have that kind of impact. When volcanoes spew tons, and I mean tons, of particulates in each eruption, that, you know, just what we do on an annual or even in a decade pales in comparison. And so I just find it interesting, again, that our political system, our government, that is not supposed to be steeped in one ideology or another, is so steeped in the left ideology. And that goes to prove that those who are in government, the bureaucracies and so forth, the majority of them are deeply ingrained in that ideology. And it goes back to my argument that we have to have equal representation in every seat of government. If it is a legitimate role, responsibility, and power, that we absolutely have to have it, like the State Department, like the Treasury, or the Department of Defense, then we need to make sure that it, you know, every seat is not occupied by left ideologues. And so, I guess I'll stop that rant right there because I'm at a hard break. But we will be right back after word from our sponsors, and I have a few more things to go through as far as the news goes, and then we'll get into some Madison's writings, and actually an official document of Madison's. So we'll be right back after word from our sponsors. Thank you so much. Most people resist change, but how would you like to be rewarded in at least two ways for considering a new dentist? Dr. Tracy believes your smile is a reflection upon him, and that is a mutually shared reward between both him and you. Another reward is improving your overall health by working with your dentist like Dr. Tracy and developing a strategy in maintaining your dental health. But how would you like a direct incentive in considering a new dentist? Dr. Tracy and his staff from time to time offer a special referral program. For every new patient you refer who becomes a patient, Dr. Tracy will reward you with $50 off your dental work. Consequently, if you refer five people, that's $250 off your dental work. Give them a call and ask for the details and the availability of the referral program by calling 466-6614 or go to VonTracyDDS.com. Again, that's 466-6614 or sign up at VonTracyDDS.com. If you've listened to my show, Reclaiming the Republic, then you should understand that the Constitution is neither a living document nor a noble guide to governance. In accordance to Article 7, the Constitution is a hard, fast contract, and the states are the only stakeholders in this contract. Integral in contract law, the stakeholders or states possess the inherent authority to exercise oversight and enforcement over their contract. This means they can audit the federal government by the contract, and with republic review, they can enforce compliance to their constitution. Any single state can perform the audit, but when states begin to unite in the auditing process, this is what is referred to as republic review. Please read my argument for republic review as well as my description of the republic review model on reclaimingtherepublic.org. We even have a graphic flowchart that shows you how republic review works. If you want to learn more, contact me on Facebook or send me an email. Thank you. Okay, so the number to dial in is 215-TOP-TALK or 215-867-8255. Do not forget my three C's when you dial in. And let's get on with the dialogue. And so one other thing, or a few other things, but the next thing I want to bring up, because as I kind of covered the little tirade regarding these bureaucracies, starting to complain that we're undoing all of the left dogma and the propaganda that they have been peppered with over the, like, that was their role and responsibility to help promote and convince us of their ideology. But anyway, the next thing I wanted to kind of jump into is, I'm not sure if you heard, there's already talk about going back out to North Korea and saying, look, If you have intentions of honoring the commitment that you've given us, then you better start doing it or we're going to do it for you. That was kind of like that message sent, and I think Pompeo is going to be doing that. But Kim Jong-un made an important announcement, and I'm not sure if you heard this, but it is in the news out there, that he is going to get rid of manual labor. And the left is just, you know, just applauding. This is an awesome thing. Has anybody ever seen night pictures of North Korea? I mean, if there is any country in Asia and in the world that has the least amount of energy, electrical energy available to its people and throughout the country, period, it is North Korea. And so I have to ask the question, well, if they're going to get rid of manual labor and everybody's jumping to this conclusion that they're, you know, going to automate everything with robots, well, that requires electricity. So maybe he had a different idea. Like maybe they were just going to stop producing, period, because he's just going to stop labor. I don't know, but there's no way they're doing this quick overnight jump to automation because they have to create the infrastructure. And as we know, with our aging infrastructure, as North Korea has tried to hack and affect our electrical grid, you have to have at least infrastructure to be able to do something like that. So it's more of a humorous antidote, even though this may not have anything to do with the Constitution. I saw that and I go, that's too funny not to share. Sadly, I have mentioned this before, that the churches have been involved for a long time in trying to direct, and they have abdicated their roles and responsibilities to government. And they have been working a long, long time, since the 1830s, in getting government to lighten their load of taking care of the temporal welfare. We kind of go back to, like I said, as states started, and I believe I talked about this before, I talked about it yesterday, as a matter of fact, as states started to stop giving the state-sponsored church tax money, then what the churches had to do is they had to say, well, okay, so nobody's paying a full tithe, and so because our revenues are going down, we have to start giving up on some services. And so one of the first things that they gave up on was education. Another thing, actually one of the first things that they really gave up on was direct welfare. And that's why a large band of Southern way leaders went to the White House, to Andrew Jackson, and basically pleaded with him to create a jobs program. And so he started building some post roads. And what that did was it got people employed. So this all began when way leaders, or church leaders, started becoming professional church leaders. Because prior to this, in, you know, the very beginning of our Constitutional Republic, it was not, you know, you did not work off the backs of others. You had your own job, and your responsibility was just literally a leadership amongst everybody else, and that was kind of shared. It was a layman's church. Everybody contributed. Well, so people started getting busy, so we want to hire somebody to kind of take care of that, but we don't want to pay him. And so it literally started shifting the focus on where, you know, what to do with the money and who needed the money, because all of a sudden you've just created an instant drain on the church revenues, because the guy that's leading the church, who's dependent on the money coming in to provide for his own household and family and so forth, has to come from those contributions. And so you've instantly created a dependency, a new dependency, not just those who are, you know, have had ill luck befall upon them, or somebody that's gotten hurt, or something that, you know, needs some help. No, now we have a permanent person on the dole. Let's just say that. Well, if you haven't noticed over the time, and that's why I just invite you to go to reclaimingtherepublic.org to my Red State Talk Radio podcast, and down below all of my podcasts, I have a list of the signatories that have basically said that they are committed to maintaining a high standard of welfare from the government so that they don't have to take care of their parishioners. Clearly, I believe that, you know, the concept of Christianity is it is the church's role and the responsibility to take care of those people, not government. I think Christ had given to Caesar what is Caesar's, but to take care of those in need. And anyway, so there's in the news, there's a political church in Indianapolis, Christ Church, that decided to cage Christ and Mary and Joseph in a chain-linked fence type of cage. And it is their form of protest to the nation's immigration policy. In other words, and I'd like to understand why churches are, you know, American churches want to give away the citizenship so that more people can come here and support. Is there some collusion between churches and these progressive government for undermining our, and to basically force the collapse of our system? Because this is the Clive Piven model of putting so many people onto the dole so that it literally collapses. And so I just have a hard time understanding why these churches have decided to go down this political path. Anyway, I thought that that was very important. And here's another thing, and this literally goes to the Constitution, because I want to point out that we've talked about education and the fact that the federal government has no jurisdiction, that the Scopes trial itself was an unconstitutional reach beyond the constitutional boundaries to get involved into education. Well, just recently, a Michigan judge ruled last week that children do not have a fundamental right to learn literacy. In other words, they don't have a right to obtain a literate knowledge or what have you. But the judges will step in a heartbeat and tell you that you have to teach your children evolution, and those kids have to be taught the LGBT agenda, and so forth and so on. Is this not irony? What is it going to take to motivate you to get the federal government completely back to where it belongs, into the jurisdiction that the Constitution has framed them to be within? And it's not that hard to do. It's called the audit. It's called Republic Review. And if you go to my homepage on reclaimingtherepublic.org, that page right there, go to reclaimingtherepublic.org, and right there is the academic bullet argument that we have to do this, and the argument of what the process is. And then I've got a bunch of little arguments that are going to be coming out on how to do this. Now, the how is always the most difficult. And so there's multiple different legs to this. There is the coalition leg. There's the grassroots leg. There is the big strategies and so forth. And so to give you all of that, it's very difficult for me to do, especially when I've got all these other things I'm trying to do. Did I say I needed help? I do. I really do need help. And so if you want to learn this stuff, if you want to get involved, and I know this show is growing because I see the numbers are growing. And so those of you who are listening, and maybe this is just really entertaining and you're learning something, and that's good. It should be. I'm really not trying to be entertaining. I you know, because I'm just talking by myself, I have to at least entertain myself. And as my wife and other people that really know me like to say, you know, I think you think you're funnier than you really are. And that's probably true. But I hope that I'm providing some level of motivation that, as I point out, the federal government and the court constantly overreaching. And now they're not only just poking us in the eye, they're slapping us in the face to say, we're taking your tax dollars, we're teaching Johnny to be Jill, and that kid has no right to a fundamental level of literacy. We don't care how stupid he is as long as he looks good in girls' clothes. Really, what's it going to take for you to get involved, to step up and do something? Anyway, I am out of time again. I actually have a little bit more to cover, and then we'll dive into the veto of the bonus bill. This is the most powerful document, I believe, in the annals of our history as a republic. So we'll be right back after word from our sponsors. Thank you so much. Most of my listeners understand the importance in having strategic goals, but do you have a long-term strategy for your dental health? Too many people are only focused on whitening their smile. I understand the appearance of your teeth can give you confidence, but this can risk your future health in only addressing the cosmetics of your teeth, and many dentists will take your money just to do this. They say failing to plan is planning to fail, and if you don't have a long-term strategy for your teeth and dental health, then you need a new dentist. Every dentist provides a dental plan, but Dr. Tracy and his staff develops a strategy to help you maintain and restore your dental health to what it needs to be. To develop a strategy in maintaining your dental health, connect with Dr. Von Tracy, DDS.com. That's VONTRACYDDS.com. So you too can develop a strategy in maintaining your dental health. To become a citizen, one must take an oath to support and defend the Constitution. Those of us who are naturally born citizens are obligated and duty-bound to fulfill the same oath, even though we're not required to take it, because it is implied upon us at birth. This is why I cannot emphasize enough the importance in supporting businesses who are supporting our Constitution. We have to stop supporting businesses that have chosen to hide behind political correctness, and obviously we must stop supporting progressive businesses who are working to undermine our republic and our Constitution. Do not let businesses or organizations convince you that they are supporting the Constitution by supporting protests for social justice. By definition, social justice is the distribution of wealth, opportunities, and privileges within a society. In other words, they're calling for socialism, which is incompatible with individual liberty and individual sovereignty and our Constitution. With that, please consider supporting businesses who advertise on this show and this radio station. That number to dial in is 215-TOP-TALK, 215-867-8255. And again, don't forget those three C's. And if you're ready to call in, the lines are open. And those of you who are actually still listening, because actually our numbers fluctuate, so some people try to anticipate when to come back and listen. So those of you who are listening at this point in time are going to get a nugget, because I have been telling you that we have 2 to 5 years. Yeah. We've heard this before. You know, the world's going to end tomorrow. There was a Gallup poll that was done, and they've been doing this for 17 years, and we have hit the lowest point. As you've probably heard, everybody's kind of talking about this in the news, that we have reached the number of only 47%, first time under 50%, that America is extremely proud of the United States, or they're proud of their country, okay? 47%, but there are other numbers. I've gotten into some of it, but I have not been able to get into the actual data. So I'm trying to get to the data, because here's the interesting thing. That means that, because we know that we're kind of ideologues, but how many of you believe that there are children in school that are open-minded and objective? Or do you believe that kids in school that are graduating, going into college, know more than you and they've got it all figured out? One or the other, right? I'm going to bet it's the latter, not the former. Anybody that's a parent knows that any child that has hit the age of 18, they know it all. You can't tell them anything. And you might as well just crawl under a rock and wait until they hit their 30s before you can actually come back and hear them start saying, well, you know, I was wrong about this. And so, again, I think I'm funny there. Because I was that way. Who wasn't? And it is even worse today. So here's the back numbers. Because if we understand that kids are so, let's use the term, extremely opinionated, I believe that if you look at the back numbers, only 33% of the kids between 18 and 29-year-olds are extremely proud of the United States. And as you go down in age, that percentage goes down. Why? Why is it? And if you've been listening to this show, you should be able to call in right now and say, well, you've been saying it's the education system. Absolutely. The kids have been indoctrinated to believe that America, white guilt, we've been manipulated into these concepts that, you know, we're a racist country, we're just a bad country. And so let me take a break real quick before I finish this little diatribe. Tomorrow's show is, my focus is really going to be on how we've been manipulated and how I've just really hit my limit on the propaganda kind of videos out there and even the music historically over the years. And I'm going to play a little snippet of an Eagles song for you. But I could actually make a few shows of doing some research and compiling all sorts of music for you, where we have been, the music has been designed to manipulate us. That being said, let me get back to this poll, this Gallup research poll. If we have such a small percentage of kids that are extremely proud, that means that I am correct that these little ideologues that are going to be able to enter into the electoral process for the first time in the next 2 to 5 years are going to be so proud that they will be responsible for throwing away our liberties because they're just so ashamed of this racist, mean, terrible country. And so you really want to listen tomorrow. Because I'm going to tell you that the reality in comparing and contrasting is there is no objectivity anymore. It is either flaming hot or, you know, ice cold. And there are no real facts when you start looking at how people put out data and information. And so I think it's really important that we start actually holding people accountable. And like I said, I've got that Eagle song. I would love people to just call Henley and say, do you really feel that way? Or were you just drinking from the Kool-Aid at the time? Because maybe that's what it was. Maybe they were being paid by government. I do remember back in the late 60s, early 70s, rock and roll bands would get a little bit of money if they would do public service announcements or songs for public service. I think I remember reading something about Todd Rundgren doing something on STDs, and that was the reason why he wrote the song Love is Infectious. I digress. The whole point of this is that I want you to understand that our kids are being effectively weaponized as voters to get rid of their constitution and get rid of their liberties, that we need to be subjected to a higher power called the state instead of going back to the way it used to be and actually humbling ourselves to a higher power we call our creator. And so it's a sad day to see that we have reached, we're reaching critical mass in our republic where the left tool, the education system, and with Trump saying that we're going to make America great again, the first thing he should have done was he should have went to Congress and said, we have no authority of doing this. Stand this down, and I want you to give me a bill that there's no way the federal government can ever do this again. This is what Republic Review is going to do. But it would have been great to see that happen now, because then Trump could actually start reversing the course and getting the states back involved. Dismantling this thing called education literally has to be a wholesale dismantling of the entire system. And there is a way of doing this so that it literally goes back to the processes that it needs to be. And it doesn't mean that now all of a sudden there's going to be a windfall of money, but that money needs to be applied into ways that will actually take away the indoctrination centers and bring back free academia once again, so that the children are actually taught objective reasoning and all the facts, so that they're not just being brainwashed into believing that the statist ideology is the proven way of success, because the empirical data, as I have said every time, and not only I, but Ludwig von Mises in his book Socialism, and I'll mention that tomorrow too, it is empirical data that proves that those roads to statism are roads of ruin. That is what is that is the road and direction our children are taking us. We have to stop that. And I can tell you that the only process, because the government's not going to do it, is Republic Review, forcing our state legislators to acknowledge that the Constitution is their contract and stepping in and taking control over their contract. So, with that, let me just jump into this Madison thing. And as a matter of fact, I also want to point out, because I always do this, I think it's really important that I say this one thing, that the words that I'm about to read, are these the words of deceit and lies, or have we been taught from our education system, our professors, our politicians, the lawyers, and so forth, have we been taught the lies by our system today to get us to believe in some facade instead of finding the truth of what our government is supposed to be? Because when we find the truth, that's usually when, you know, the house of cards comes falling down. Before I read this, I want again to say America is not all bad. And as a matter of fact, as you start listening and you hearing this dogma that comes from these elitist singers and from the news and so forth, start thinking, well, how come they're not mentioning the atrocities that are happening in Venezuela in the same breath? It's just like, we're killing our people here, and that's not the case. That's what's happening in Venezuela. That's what's happening in China. That's what's happening around the world. It is not happening here. America is not bad, and we are not the bad guys, especially when we're embracing the founding principles like I'm going to read right now. As Madison states right here, this is the second paragraph. He says, the legislative powers vested in Congress are specified and enumerated in the 8th section of the 1st article of the Constitution, and it does not appear that the power proposed to be exercised by the bill is among the enumerated powers, or that it fails by any just interpretation with the power to make laws necessary and proper for carrying into the execution those or other powers vested by the Constitution in the government of the United States. So let me give you a little backstory. This bill that he's vetoing is a bill that is going to create the framework for the Department of Transportation. He is clearly stating that this power is not in those enumerated powers, that you can't use the necessary and proper clause to just make this power, to start exercising this power, that you can't even make a liberal interpretation of those listed or enumerated powers to come to the conclusion that you can do this. Does that make sense? And so this is really powerful, folks. That's why I'm going through this with a lot of editorializing this time. Last time I just read it. But I think it's very important, because I want you to understand and start asking yourself, why do we have a Department of Transportation? And with that, and with this heartbreak, we'll be right back after word from our sponsors. Thank you so much. It's that time of year to get that dental checkup and cleaning. I know many of us are creatures of habit, and we tend to settle for what we know, and many of us are procrastinators. I was that way myself with my past dentist, jumping from one dentist chair to the next. From all the hopping, I've learned that all dentists are not equal, and I would challenge you to consider checking out Dr. Von Tracy. I work hard to make a living, and I'm not one to throw my hard-earned money away on just a good dentist. That's why it took me a couple of years to find a great dentist. From the excellence of his staff to the quality of the work, Dr. Tracy is the difference. I know it's time to put standards to our loyalty, so I would ask you to give Dr. Tracy a try by setting up your next appointment with him. Just go to VONTRACYDDS.com or call them at 509-466-6614. Again, sign up at VonTracyDDS.com. To set the record straight, Republic Review is neither an Article 5 convention nor a convention of states. In accordance with Article 5 of the Constitution, this convention requires 2/3 of the states to apply to Congress to convene a convention with the intent to amend the Constitution. This convention is unable to solve our real problem, which is non-compliance to the Constitution, and would be dangerous to convene at this time. In contrast, Republic Review is the process of the states exerting its constitutional authority over the Constitution. An audit does not require an application to Congress. This authority is inherent to principal stakeholders of a contract. Why do we need Republic Review? Because this is the only way the states can deal with the federal encroachments into roles, responsibilities, and powers that belong to the states. To learn more about Republic Review, please go to reclaimingtherepublic.org to read my content and my model on the audit and Republic Review process. Okay, if you want to join in on the dialogue, you need to call 215-TOP-TALK. That's 215-867-8255. And so since I've already gotten into the exciting part of the show, these reading these facts from our founding documents, and this is a founding document because this is an official document. This isn't just an opinion or a journal. This is Madison exercising his role as the president in telling Congress that they can't do this. And so this is not just a couple of words or a theory or anything else. This is the father of the Constitution telling Congress that they do not have the authority or the power to create a Department of Transportation. And so something went wrong, as I was saying before we went into the break. How in the heck did this happen? Why do we have a Department of Transportation? Why have we allowed them to do all of this? Because we've been lied to. I've been telling you this. But before I get into all of this and getting back into this exciting stuff, I want to let you know that I've actually reached out and I've got quite a few, not all of them, but I have got quite a few of the Wyoming governors that I'm going to interview. We're going to do one segment each. And I want to get, before we, I don't think that they've done the due diligence. Maybe they have. Maybe they've read on Republic Review. But what I want to do is I'm going to interview them on what they believe they need to do in dealing with the federal encroachments within their state. How are they going to approach those things? And so I'm going to do that first interview. Then I'm going to, you know, take a little time. I'm going to ask them to give me some private time so that I can kind of explain and get their feelings on that. And then ask them if they'd like to do a follow-on interview. And so we'll see. We'll see how many do the, you know, I think I'll get all of them to do the first interview, but I'm not sure if I'll get any of them to do the follow-on interview. We'll see. But let me get moving here. As Madison just threw out the necessary and proper clause, he says you can't use the necessary and proper clause for doing this. The next paragraph, or the next few sentences, or actually this is a single sentence. The next sentence, he throws out the Commerce Clause. And he says, the power to regulate commerce among the several states cannot include a power to construct roads and canals and to improve the navigation of watercourses in order to facilitate, promote, and secure such commerce without a latitude of construction departing from the ordinary import of terms strengthened by the known inconveniences which doubtless led to the grant of this remedial power to Congress. In other words, Congress was given a remedial power to regulate. In other words, they were only to be the peacekeepers and ensuring that one state couldn't take advantage of another state in commerce, such as a state that has, you know, like New York with all the shipping lanes and all the, you know, commerce coming into their ports and then taking advantage of adding taxes and or duties, toll roads and so forth, that they could not do that. That the flow of that commerce had to be reasonable, that they could make sure that they didn't take any advantages over the rest of the states. And that was the power of Congress. That was the only power, really, that they had to make sure that the states couldn't take advantage of each other. Let's say one particular state was the only state that had, you know, rice or wheat or corn, that they had a monopoly because they could grow a certain type of food that they couldn't sell that food cheaper in their state and then all of a sudden jack up the prices for everybody else. They can't do that. The Commerce Clause allowed the federal government to ensure that the states played equally, that there was reciprocity of the citizens as well as commerce and so forth. And so one of the things that kills me is this whole EPA crap that California pulls, because how many times have you heard that the standards of cars have been changed because California had ramped up their standards of EPA? California cannot dictate how Michigan builds cars. If California wants to dictate how they build cars, then they can build cars in California. But if they're receiving cars that are coming out of Michigan, what they get is what they receive. They cannot create laws that say you cannot sell that product here. They can't do that. That is a violation of the Commerce Clause. It's considered economic warfare to say you have to build something, you know, very specific the way we want it and force literally Michigan and every other car company to build two types of cars. And for the longest time, that's what many car companies were doing until all of a sudden the federal government got involved and started enforcing those things. As far as I am concerned, the Commerce Clause right here by Madison was pulled out of the Constitution and thrown out and said, you can't use this. This has no power in the way you think that you can apply this. So the next thing he goes into is the next clause, which is the Common Defense and General Welfare Clause. So the next paragraph, or I should say the next sentence, he says, to refer the power in question to the clause to provide for common defense and general welfare would be contrary to the established and consistent rules of interpretation, as rendering the special and careful enumeration of powers which follow the clause nugatory and improper. Such a view of the Constitution would have the effect of giving to Congress a general power of legislation instead of the defined and limited one hitherto understood to belong to them. Does this sound familiar? I'm just taking a break here. I read this in the Bounty for Cod Fisheries yesterday, the day before. He basically is duplicating what he said in 1792. This is 1817, and he is still saying the same thing. And I can tell you that Congress at that point in time had been so well schooled by Madison since the very beginning of the federal government to the end of his presidency that it didn't take long for them to completely purge all of the facts of the Constitution so that their machinations and their nefarious desires to centralize more and more power just became out of control. And so he was being a stalwart. He was being a true vigilant guardian of the Constitution, which is what the job of the president is supposed to be. And so it goes on, the terms common defense and general welfare, embracing every object and act within the purview of a legislative trust, it would have the effect of subjecting both the Constitution and laws of the several states, in all cases not specifically exempted, to be superseded by laws of Congress. It is being expressly declared that the Constitution of the United States and laws made in pursuance thereof shall be the supreme law of the land, and the judges of every state shall be bound thereby. Anything in the Constitution or laws of any state to the contrary notwithstanding. And then he goes on and says, such a view of the Constitution finally would have the effect of excluding the judicial authority of the United States from participating in guarding the boundary between the legislative powers of the general and the state governments, inasmuch as questions relating to the general welfare, being questions of policy and expediency, are unsusceptible of judicial cognizance and decision. And so right there, he basically lays out that as you're opening up this can of worms, will infest every facet of government, that Congress will be able to actually start assuming all sorts of roles, even going into the separation of powers of the judiciary, because now it would be up to Congress to start determining. Now, even though that didn't happen, what happened was that the judiciary was much smarter, and they actually started helping and started literally pulling Congress along in getting them to use, by using these clauses in their findings of the Supremacy Clause, the Commerce Clause, the Necessary and Proper Clause, and the General Welfare and Defense Clause. Those four clauses, the Supreme Court used in rulings to say, well, you can do these things, Congress, even though the contract was sold that you couldn't. They lied. This is where the lawyers and jurists of the Supreme Court literally lied. If they go back to the ratification debates, those legally binding documents to the Constitution, clearly, as I've read them to you, as I've cited them, and as I'm referencing them now, they clearly state that you cannot use those powers in any form or any fashion other than for the enumerated powers within the Constitution. I don't think I'm really speaking, and correct me if I'm wrong, I may be wrong here, but I don't think I'm speaking in such a vernacular that makes it hard for just the average person to understand. I believe what I'm saying is pretty close to plain English. I may be using words like enumerated and stuff like that, because I do have, you know, daughter-in-law and other people that say, you know, you talk really, you know, fancy, and I'm not trying to talk fancy here. I'm really trying to make it as simple as I possibly can, that our federal government is locked, as it was stated yesterday in the bounty of the cod fisheries, as well as in the ratification debates, and as well as I'm saying here, that the federal government is locked to those few enumerated powers, and that those clauses only pertain to those powers and no portals to new powers. I've ran out of time, so I hope you have a great Independence Day. I hope you enjoy my rant tomorrow. God bless, and we will be back tomorrow, and again on Thursday we'll be live. Thank you so much. Reclaiming the Republic is more than an educational radio show. My intent is to also work with you and local leadership to promote matters of the Constitution and self-governance. This way we can all promote constitutional awareness within our communities and with our elected officials and public leaders. If you love liberty and sovereignty and recognize the federal tyranny that is threatening our lives, then we are asking for your help. And here are a few ways you can help. Spread the word about this radio show, Reclaiming the Republic. It is the only radio show in the world asserting a constitutional solution to federal overreach. Download and share our podcast and content. Read, like, follow, and share our Mobiusstrip Press and Reclaiming the Republic pages on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter at Mobiusstrip News. Get informed about local groups in the area and get involved. Most importantly, become a constitutional warrior with your local leaders and demand that they begin applying constitutional tests to what they are doing and who they are supporting. Thank you.